From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
This is Hernita with the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo reminds the enthusiasm in handling COVID-19 should not go down. Pilgrims arrive in Mecca for downsized Hajj amid pandemic. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in a limited meeting via video teleconference on Monday, July 28, reminded all government officials that the enthusiasm to overcome the crisis due to the COVID-19 pandemic should not go down. That is because 8 priority provinces such as Jakarta, West Java, Central Java, East Java, South Sulawesi, North Sumatra, Papua, and South Kalimantan contributed 74% of positive cases of COVID in Indonesia. Health policy and economic policy should be balanced, and healthcare is a priority. You cannot loosen up one bit. The aura of the crisis must continue to be echoed until later the vaccine is available and can be used effectively. President Joko Widodo has asked the COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery Committee to work quickly to resolve the problems on the ground. The president added that the formation of the COVID-19 Handling Committee did not erase the existence of the COVID-19 Task Force at the central and regional levels. The formation of a committee is only to integrate COVID-19's handling in the health and economic sectors that are equally affected. Until Monday, July 27, positive cases in Indonesia reached more than 100,000 cases. On similar occasion, President Joko Widodo called for policy breakthrough since budget realization for handling COVID-19 and the national economic recovery reached 136 trillion of 695 trillion rupiah in the 2020 draft state budget. The president said the absorption of the COVID-19 stimulus is yet not optimal and the speed is still lacking. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Monday, the president called on the Committee of COVID-19 Handling Committee and National Economic Recovery to issue breakthrough steps to facilitate faster working. The president pointed out this to address the problem he had mentioned earlier of the budget absorption not yet being optimal. Of the 136 trillion rupiah budget for handling COVID-19 and national economic recovery that was realized, the head of state explained that realization of the budget for social protection programs had reached 38%, while the realization of stimulus to micro, small and medium enterprises touched merely 25%. Indonesia and Canada have completed the second phase of the Responsive Innovation Fund, or RIF program, which aims to strengthen and coordinate national support for the development of innovative local economies. The innovations involve developing more efficient production processes, new methods for survive delivery, sharing resources with other districts to increase efficiency, or using tools and technology to help overcome distances and other obstacles. The proof, Indonesia's Ministry of National Development Planning and the National Development Planning Agency, and Canada's Global Affairs Canada, which is affiliated with cooperation projects of national support for local investment climate and national support for enhancing local and regional economic development. In a statement issued in Jakarta on Monday, Deputy of Regional Development at the Ministry of National Development Planning, National Development Planning Agency, Rudy Suprihadi Prawiradinata, said the National Development Agenda emphasizes the importance of tangible and measurable policies, programs, and activities to encourage accelerated rural and regional development. Now we move to the international news. Unemployment assistance, eviction protection, and other relief for millions of Americans are at stake as White House officials launch negotiations late Monday with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democratic Senate Leader Chuck Schumer on a new coronavirus aid package that's teetering in Congress ahead of looming deadlines. As quoted by AP News on Tuesday, while Senate Republicans struggled to roll out their own $1 trillion US proposal, Pelosi implored the White House and GOP lawmakers to stop the infighting and come to the negotiating table with Democrats. Aid runs out Friday from $600 weekly jobless benefit that Democrats call a lifeline for out-of-work Americans. Republicans want to slash it to $200 a week, saying that the federal bump is too generous on top of state benefits and is discouraging employees from returning to work. European tourism faces turbulence only weeks after restart. Europe's tourism revival is running into turbulence only weeks after countries reopen their borders, with rising infections in Spain and other nations causing increasing concern among health authorities over people bringing the coronavirus home from their summer vacations. As quoted by APnews.com Monday, the European countries started opening up to each other's tourists in mid-June, but recent events have shown that the new freedom to travel is subject to setbacks. Over the weekend, Britain imposed a 14-day quarantine on travelers arriving from Spain. Norway ordered a 10-day quarantine for people returning from the entire Iberian Peninsula, and France urged its citizens not to visit Spain's Catalonia region. Muslim pilgrims have started arriving in Mecca for a drastically scaled-down Hajj as Saudi authorities balance the kingdom's oversight of one of Islam's key pillars and the safety of visitors in the face of a global pandemic. As quoted by APnews.com Monday, the Hajj, which begins on Wednesday, normally draws around 2.5 million people for 5 intense days of worship in one of the world's largest gatherings of people from around the world. This year, Saudi Arabia's Hajj ministry has said between 1,000 and 10,000 people already residing in the kingdom will be allowed to perform the pilgrimage. The last item, American diplomatic staff have left their consulate in the Chinese city of Chengdu after a 72-hour deadline expired. China ordered the closure in response to the U.S. closing the Chinese consulate in Houston, Texas, last week. Before Monday's deadline, staff were seen leaving the building, a plaque was removed, and a U.S. flag was lowered. As quoted by BBC.com Monday, Chinese Foreign Ministry said Chinese staff entered the building after the deadline and took over. A U.S. State Department spokesperson said the consulate has stood at the center of their relations with the people in Western China, including Tibet, for 35 years. That's the end of the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Early Detection of Hepatitis B for the Realization of Hepatitis-Free Future. Today, July 28, the world commemorates World Hepatitis Day. When the world has been focusing on overcoming COVID-19 pandemic, which has infected about 16.39 million people, the commemoration of World Hepatitis Day may not be too robust. However, for Indonesia, the World Hepatitis Day is an important day. History has recorded that the determination of World Hepatitis Day could not be separated from the proposals of Indonesia. The 126th meeting of the WHO Executive Board on January 23, 2010, approved the proposals of the Indonesian delegation to set July 28 as the World Hepatitis Day. Determination is a momentum to fight hepatitis in each country. Since its establishment, every July 28, the world commemorates World Hepatitis Day with a special campaign theme. This year's theme is Hepatitis Free Future, with a strong focus on preventing hepatitis B among mothers and newborns. On July 28, 2020, WHO issued a new recommendation on prevention of transmission of the virus from mother to child. According to WHO records, currently approximately 325 million people lived with the hepatitis B and C. Every year, approximately 900,000 people die from being infected with the hepatitis B virus. WHO calls on all countries to work together to eliminate the hepatitis virus as a public health threat in the year 2030. In Indonesia, efforts to stop the transmission of hepatitis B from mother to child are still a priority for the government to handle. Director of Prevention and Control of Direct Communicable Disease of the Director General at the Ministry of Health of the Republic of Indonesia, Wiendra Wawaruntu, during an online discussion with the team Let's Detect Early Hepatitis B on Monday, suggested a number of acceleration strategies are carried out. First strategy is to improve the quality of hepatitis standard services through the 2020 Health Legislation Program. The second is to enhance coverage of early detection of integrated hepatitis B in pregnant women towards triple elimination of HIV, syphilis, and hepatitis B in 2022. More serious efforts must be carried out by the government of Indonesia. It's not about the time, 2 years to reach that target. Considering the prevalence of hepatitis B in Indonesia is still very high. According to the record of the Ministry of Health, every year it is estimated that 120,000 babies suffer from hepatitis B and 95% have the potential to experience chronic hepatitis, such as cirrhosis or liver cancer, in the next 30 years. This is the responsibility not only for the Indonesian government, but also for all components of the nation to jointly take part, starting with early detection, especially mothers who are pregnant. They have to routinely carry out medical checkups and treatment. If it is proven that someone has hepatitis B or C, they can be vaccinated immediately. Pharmaceutical companies or BPJS health care can take part and channel corporate social responsibility funds to provide free medical checkup services to the public. With the joint efforts, a hepatitis-free future will be realized. Hopefully, all of us may always be healthy and free from hepatitis. Happy World Hepatitis Day. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. That was commentary.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with July 28, 1914, when Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia as the beginning of World War I. A month after the Crown Prince of the Austrian Empire of Hungary, Franz Ferdinand, and his wife were killed by a Serb nationalist, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia on July 28, 1914. In response, Russia, as a Serb ally, formally ordered mobilization in four military districts in Galicia, bordering with Austria and Hungary. Then began the First World War, which involved all major powers, especially in Europe. In the war, there were two hostile alliances, namely the Allies consisting of Britain, France and Russia, and the Central Power consisting of Germany, Austria, Hungary and Italy. Moving on to July 28, 1976, when a devastating earthquake hits northern China. An earthquake that occurred in the morning shook the city of Tangshan, north of the city of Beijing, on July 28, 1976. The earthquake of magnitude 7.8 on the Richter scale devastated the mining town of more than 1 million people. It is estimated that the number of victims reached more than 250,000. The Tangshan earthquake was recorded as the deadliest earthquake of the 20th century. I'll include Today in History with July 28, 1990, when Alberto Fujimori becomes president of Peru. Alberto Kenyas Fujimori, a Peruvian of a Japanese descent, becomes president of Peru from July 28, 1990 to November 17, 2000. During his tenure, Fujimori succeeded in restoring macroeconomic stability. Fujimori also succeeded in freeing dozens of people held hostage by the Tupac Amaru rebels during an attack on the residence of the Japanese ambassador in Lima. However, he was also criticized as an authoritarian leader. At the end of 2000, after the APEC meeting in Brunei Darussalam, Fujimori went to Japan and resigned as president of Peru by sending a letter of resignation by facsimile to the Peruvian embassy in Japan. So that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Belum sempat kulihat senyummu, belum sempat kulepas rinduku, malah kamu pergi dengan dia. Di belakangku kau mainkan aku, kau penipu cinta, tak bisa ku percaya. Kau buat hatiku jadi sakit, padahal sebentar ku percaya kau buat hatiku jadi sakit. Padahal sebentar ku pergi tak lama, tapi kau malah selingkuh. Tak sempat kita bertemu, tak sempat melepas rindu. Teganya dirimu kepadaku, kini kau dengan dia. Oh, oh, oh. Kau penipu cinta, tak bisa ku percaya. Kau buat hatiku jadi sakit. Padahal sebentar ku perginya tak lama, tapi kau malah selingkuh. Kau main di
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today. Entitling Indonesia receive Australian assistance of 100 non-invasive ventilators for handling COVID-19. The Indonesian government received medical equipment assistance from the Australian government for the handling of coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19. The assistance worth 2 million Australian dollars, or around 19.8 billion rupiah, is a manifestation of high concern from the Australian government to support the acceleration of disease management due to SARS-CoV-2 virus. The assistance in the form of 100 non-invasive ventilators is needed for the care of COVID-19 patients in Indonesia. As reported in covid19.go.id, this medical equipment will help Indonesia at the forefront and accelerate treatment in a medical context. Similarly, the aid was handed over from the Australian Embassy Australian Charge d'Affaires, Alistair Cox, to the chairman of the COVID-19 Handling Task Force, Tony Monardo, at PNPB building in Jakarta on Friday. On that occasion, Tony Monardo, on behalf of the Indonesian government, expressed his highest appreciation and was grateful for the care of the Australian government, close neighbour and good friend, as strategic partner to work together to deal with the COVID-19. For the Australian government, a number of ventilators are part of a critical medical and laboratory equipment package worth 19.4 billion rupiah to support the response and recovery of COVID-19 in Indonesia. In addition, the Australian government assistance is part of Australia's commitment to cooperate with Indonesia in supporting the speed of health, humanitarian and economic response and recovery needs in Indonesia. These ventilators and medical supplies are parts of Australia's 203.7 billion rupiah COVID-19 response package for Indonesia, in addition to the transfer of programs for COVID-19 activities valued at nearly 436 billion rupiah from a total value of 2.9 trillion Indonesian development programs that provided by the Australian government. Meanwhile, on the website of the Australian Embassy for Indonesia, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Gary Quinlan said that Australia cooperates side by side with Indonesia in the fight against COVID-19. According to Ambassador Gary, the pandemic will seriously affect the Indo-Pacific region, so Australia will continue to work in partnership with Indonesia to minimize the impact of COVID-19. Ambassador Quinlan also explained that 100 non-invasive ventilators, related medical supplies and laboratory equipment sent to the Indonesian National Task Force would assist frontline medical staff in providing life-saving assistance and support laboratory staff with important supplies. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
isi hatimu semua telah tersirat di dua matamu. Simpan segala upaya untuk buatku percaya semua baik adanya. Terluka sendiri ku pendam segala rasa karena aku tak bisa mengarahkan cinta yang takkan pernah ada. Sudah
you're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Lake Tambing in Poso, Central Sulawesi. Stay tuned. On July 17, the Lorelindu National Park Center has reopened Lake Tambing Tourism Site. This natural tourism object located in Poso Regency, Central Sulawesi, has been closed for 3 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Head of the Lorelindu National Park Center, Jusman, said Lake Tambing is opened by implementing health protocols to prevent COVID-19 transmission and limit the number of visitors. Besides buying an entry ticket, the tourists must fill their personal data, such as name, address, and telephone number. Lake Tambing is located at an altitude of about 1,700 meters above sea level. This lake is a bird's paradise with beautiful and fresh atmosphere. There are around 260 species of birds, and 30% of them are endemic of Lake Tambing. This means that 30% of bird species around Lake Tambing only exist and breed in the local nature. Another uniqueness is the presence of orchids and lada trees, one of the endemic trees that only grow in central Sulawesi. From Palu City, the capital of Central Sulawesi Province, traveling to Lake Tambing only takes about 3 hours across the Trans-Palu-Napu Road. Arriving at the parking area of Lake Tambing, you are required to report yourself to the officer of the Lori Lindu National Park. From the guard post, you have to walk for tens of meters into the forest park, then you can see the beautiful lake shrouded in mist. You can feel cold air and the chirping of the birds. You also can enjoy its natural beauty by going around the lake by boat. If you like fishing, you can do it on this lake. It is better to do your trip in Lake Tambing in the morning when the birds come out from their nests. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From Indonesia to the world. Tuhan.
lupakan kekasihnya yang lama.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Berapa totalnya? Or in English, what is the total amount? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Berapa totalnya? Or what is the total amount? In the canteen, Kevin asked the cashier how much he has to pay for his food.
Berapa total semuanya?
Semuanya 70.000. Bayar dengan uang tunai atau kartu?
Tunai saja. Ini uangnya, 70.000 rupiah.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce expressions and vocabulary related to today's theme. Berapa totalnya? Berapa totalnya? Which means, what is the total amount? I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Berapa total semuanya? Berapa total semuanya? Which means, what is the total amount? 70.000. 70.000. Which means, 70,000. Bayar, bayar, which means pay. Uang, uang, which means money. Tunai, tunai, which means cash. Kartu, kartu, which means card. After eating, the customer pays the food at the cashier to ask how much should be paid. You can use the phrase berapa total semua? Berapa total semua? Which means, what is the total of all? Here's another example of its use. When you ask berapa total semua? Berapa total semua? Which means, what is the total of all? You will get an answer like semua jadi 80.000 rupiah. Semua jadi 80.000 rupiah. Which means, everything becomes 80,000 rupiah. Then you can say, ini uangnya 80.000 rupiah. Ini uangnya 80.000 rupiah. Which means, here's the money, 80,000 rupiah. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, For more details, you can listen to the conversation one more time.
Berapa total semuanya?
Semuanya 70.000. Bayar dengan uang tunai atau kartu?
Tunai saja. Ini uangnya, Rp70.000.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you next week.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 dibaqaikum fil manazil.
Di zaman gegen corona, we're bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je een masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
ku ingin saat hanya rindu. Ku rindu senyummu, ibu.
Pesan mama, tetap rendah hati, harus siap, belajar mama. Dan selalu mengucap syukur apa yang Tuhan kasih di kakak.
Amin.
Iya.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song entitled Bunga Melur Sampai Tiaraman. The song Bunga Melur was composed by P. Ramlee and its lyrics were written by S. Darmaji. The lyrics are full of allegories that describes someone who is like a jasmine flower that has white color with alluring smell. The composer also describes that the beauty of the flower will be adored by many people. The song has mellow rhythm with a slow tempo. The song Bunga Melur was popularized by Tiaraman, a singer from Padang Pariaman, West Sumatra. He is known for creating and popularizing other famous Minang songs, such as Badindin, Risaulai, Usah Diratoi, and hits duet song with Ali Kasim, Bapisah Bukan Nyoba Carai. In addition to popularizing Minang songs, Tiaraman is also known as a Malay singer. Let's listen to the song Bunga Melur by Tiaraman. Enjoy the song.
Tempatmu bunga melur, bukan di taman yang indah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku berjalan menyisir malam dan tak terasa dingin menerpa. Aku berjalan menahan perih dari hati yang telah rapuh. Malam-malamku semakin pilu. Entah mengapa asa merajut, suara hati lirih berdesir menerangkan lara hati. Jangan tanya mengapa bila
of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.